Well, good Thursday morning. How's everybody doing? This is CA, your on-air personality, on the iHeartRadio Network here at Faith Studio One. A very cold day in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. It's going to be cold about the next 6 or 7 days. I haven't talked to you guys in a while. I've done a lot of our Facebook Lives. In fact, if you get a chance to like me on the Facebook page, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast, check the like button. From time to time, I'll do the morning show on there. And I want all y'all to be able to kind of see us on there. We do prayer request. I do all that. We do the prayer request. I usually read the Bible devotion sometimes. Most of the time, in fact. And I sometimes here lately been reading a little bit on scripture on the Bible. I can't wait to get my new glasses here, believe it or not. I'm going to be finally going to the eye doctor here within the next few weeks to give me some new glasses where I can actually see a little better. To be honest with you, you guys would probably laugh, and I could probably give myself a good laugh on this. And why not give myself a laugh? Might as well. It's been 6 years since I've had glasses. Yeah, I know. But you know what? I'm going to get it taken care of. I mean, I can see, but I could see a little better. So that's my main game plan there. All right, we have got a great show lined up today for you. But as always, I want you to stand by one moment. By the way, let me take a little bit of time out. I got a listener count the other day, and I want to thank everybody. In fact, I want to give everybody just basically some cheers this morning. Yes, long cheers, in fact. How about some hand clapping? Yeah, because this just isn't me, it's you all, you listeners. And I want some morning krill. There you go. And a drum roll. That's right. We're up on the top five as far as morning Christian podcast show, and I want to thank everybody. I really do. It isn't just me; it's you all that are telling our listeners, and and they're telling more listeners, and it just kind of goes from there. I'm not about numbers, but what I'm more or less about is reaching, encouraging, praying for people. I enjoy what I'm doing. I enjoy the characters that I do from time to time. A lot of people have asked me, CA, who does all these characters? Who does the producing? Well, I do all of it, basically. Unless sometimes I can get producer Bryce in. I haven't been able to get him in a while because he's been busy. I do the producing. I do it all, basically, on the deal. I do all these impersonations that you hear. But we do have a studio. It is Faith Studio One in Fort Worth, Texas. We have the iHeartRadio studio. Very blessed to be a part of it. But due to COVID times, things have kind of remotely, we've had to do a lot of different remote things. So you may hear backgrounds in the music on different things. And, you know, that just happens. I got people that are on-air personalities on other radio stations that have to do the same thing. You look at your news people, they're having to work at home and do things like that. But we do have Faith Studio One, the iHeartRadio studio, yes indeed, in Fort Worth, Texas. Somebody had asked me that, and I wanted to clarify and give them the answer. Very blessed to have that. Now, again, if you have any prayer requests, questions, comments, suggestions, hey, new music, that would be great. Email it to me. I do read those emails, guys, and I respond back. Morningsbrew, mornings ending in a S, so let's do it again. Morningsbrew@gmail.com. Again, morningsbrew@gmail.com. If you want your prayer request to become anonymous, that's no problem at all. Give me your name. Give me your state. Okay? Also, people say, well, I can't reach you on iHeartRadio. How else can I reach you? Well, you can like me on my Facebook page. If you're still on Facebook, type in the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Check the like button. I do a lot of Facebook Lives on there and other things. And you can also, if you do any tweeting anymore, you can go to Twitter @MorningsBrew, and we're on CastBox, we're on TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasting, Google Podcast, you name it, we're there. Search me up, you can find me, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. A lot of people ask me, CA, can you just repeat all that? And I do, and that's okay. All right, let's talk about what's going to happen on our show on a Thursday. It is so great to be back in the saddle. I decided to change things up. A listener had asked me. They said, C.A., can you do, instead of the Bible devotion, can you do the one on Billy Graham about time? Yes, I'm going to be doing that here in just a bit for you guys. Also got some great Christian music coming up. And let's not forget this. What are you teaching on today, C.A.? I am teaching on going back to my Bible archives. In one sentence, summarizes every book of the Old Testament. And we'll go through that. And it may, y'all may think it's going to be long. It's really not long. But it makes sense. I've had some requests for that as well. Again, Jumping Jack ready. Oh, the deacon is in the studio. Yes, we will talk to deacon immediately after the Billy Graham talking about time. Okay. All right, let's get those Jumping Jacks ready. What do you say? Thursday. Fridays are coming. Stay warm, North Central Texas. All of the great state of Texas. It is an ice bowl out there. It's going to be, especially Monday. Your truly is in here with the heat on, let me tell you. All right, doing your little dance. Boogie woogie, come on now. Loosen those joints. You ready? One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One more time on those Jumping Jacks. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Go backwards. Four, three, two, one. Let's roll. Okay. Now, stand by. Billy Graham, per request from some listeners about time.
Time is short. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. If someone had told me when I was 20 years old that life was very short and would pass just like that, I wouldn't have believed it. And if I tell you that, you don't believe it either. I cannot get young people to understand how brief life is, how quickly it passes. It seems like yesterday I was in school. Every one of us here has been given the same amount of time in a day. 1,440 minutes a day, 168 hours per week. 70 years God allows us. And it's interesting to me, with all of our medical science, we've never passed that magic mark. The average American male today lives 70 years and 4 months. The average female, 73 years and 6 months. More people live to be 70, but the average age of an American is still 70, as taught in the scriptures. What a thing it is when you think that you have just one short life to spend. I'd write down my priorities in life, and I'd get committed to certain priorities. Now is the accepted time, the things we ought to do, the classes we ought to take, the books we ought to read. Do it now. The family that needs you, spend more time now. Write that letter home now that you've been meaning to write. Money you ought to give, give now. Time for study, do it now. People you ought to witness to, do it now. Every time the clock ticks, it seems to say now. Today, if you will hear his voice. There may not be a tomorrow for you and for me, because there's a warning to time. Time is running out for all of us. Time is too short for indecision and vacillation. Do not halt between two opinions. Fools say that time is long. Every morning we have 86,400 seconds to spend and to invest. And each day the bank named time opens a new account for you and for me. It allows no balances and no overdrafts. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. The Bible says, redeem the time, because the days are evil. And the days in which we're living are very evil. If there was ever a time for the gospel that can transform the human heart, it's now. Jesus said, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him that sent us. The night is coming when no man can work. The night is going to come in your life. Yet there was a serenity about the work of the Lord Jesus. It's the quality of life, not the length. Jesus only had 33 years. And it ended on the cross. To the world, he was a failure at that moment. Yet at the end of his life, he said, I finished the work that thou gavest me to do. It doesn't matter whether you live another year or 2 years or 5 years. Will your work be finished? Is there a quality to it? Is there a dedication to it? Suppose all of our members tithe their time to witness for Christ as we tithe our income for the church. Fill your heart with the word of God. I found that those who know the scriptures are the ones that have the power today. But we need men and women who walk with God. And if you do that, you too can finish the work that God gave you to do. And help us to realize the brevity and the urgency of time. And may we invest what little time we have in the kingdom of God.
And I want to thank a listener from out of state that had actually emailed me and told me, CA, will you play that? And absolutely, what an honor, by America's pastor, Billy Graham. All right, stand by. And life is short, by the way, if you figure those minutes in your days. You want to enjoy life. You definitely do. Live life to its fullest. And you want to live for Christ, too. There is nobody perfect. Let me just say this for a moment. There is nobody perfect. Everybody has baggage or an issue or a problem. But you know what? We have a loving and forgiving God. And I just want you to remember that. So whatever bad that has happened, God will close that door for you and give you good if you allow him in your heart to change you. And that's the only way you can do that. Okay? All right. Enough preaching on that for now. Love all you guys. Love my listeners. Let's bring him on. Let's play the music, the intro. Here he is, Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church. There we go. I played it a little longer. Let's give a cheer, a mighty long cheer, for this particular special fan favorite. Let's give him some claps. And you know what? I feel the opportunity to give him some long morning curl. Don't y'all think so? And drum roll. One more thing I want to do for you, Deacon, before I announce you. Countdown.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 10.
Oh, goodness, that crazy button. There we go. At the iHeartRadio studio, things get a little wacky. Your friend, my friend, Deacon Paul Brown, it's always such an honor with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Hello, Deke. How you doing?
C.A., we are family. I got all my brothers and sisters and me.
There you go. I knew you'd love that song.
C.A., I love it every time you intro me on that song, We Are Family, because we are family, brother.
That's right, we are. How are you doing? Did you make it through the ice from Tyler all the way to Faith Studio One this morning in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas? 35 accidents this morning alone in Tarrant County or Fort Worth, Texas. I couldn't believe it, Deacon.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. We did a little slippy and a little slidey. Now, I left Miss Mildred at home today. She's sitting in a little cozy house with the heater on.
Well, I don't blame her. That's what she should have done.
Well, there ain't nobody else. Like, cause, yeah, I had some errands that I got to run over here and visit some people in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. So I got to go visit them, but I wanted to stop by, as I always do, because I really enjoy talking to you.
Well, that's almost a rhyme.
Yeah, it is, isn't it, S.E.A.?
That's right. Yeah, you're always welcome to come by Faith Studio One, the iHeartRadio studio. I'm always glad to welcome anybody. And, you know, I do welcome you, my friend.
I truly, truly appreciate that. Yeah, Miss Mildred, she said, honey, you just go ahead and go visit C.A., because I know you got some errands that you got to run over there in Fort Worth for a little while. Just be careful. Get back before the roads start getting even. Hopefully they won't get icy.
Well, according to the deal, it's the cold weather today. Now, Monday is going to be a challenge for a lot of people in Fort Worth because we've got snow. We got about 3 or 4 chances of snow. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I love the weather forecasters here. They're great. Some of them I know. However, the world's greatest weatherman was the late Harold Taft. A lot of y'all don't know him unless you're from Fort Worth. And ever since then, these weather guys are not accurate. They throw the weather balloon up in the air and all that. Let me tell you who controls that weather. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And you know what? Whatever he wants the weather to be, that's fine. You know, I know everybody hates the cold, but here's the advantage of cold. Cold is it kills the allergies. Cold is it also takes care of a lot of these bugs. We haven't had this kind of cold weather the next 5 to 7 days, Deacon, to basically kill a lot of these. I mean, allergies were bad. Ragweed was bad. We needed something. But goodness, not 7 days, 5 to 7 days from what they're predicting. Bad part about that is it brings the rats in. I'm sorry, I don't mean to say that to panic anybody. Brings the varmints in. In fact, last night...
Yeah, tell me what you saw last night.
Last night I was driving in, and I saw a skunk, and boy, that thing almost went right out in front of my car. If I'd have ran over that thing, it would have had skunk juice all over my car.
That's all you need there, C.A., is that skunky juice, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, I know.
Well, out there where we live... We kind of live a little bit out in the country. We see it all. I've seen coyote. I've seen foxes. I've seen skunks. I've seen, you name it, C.A. I've seen a lot of it.
That's what's going on around here. There's such a build-out. And there's a build-out all around y'all's towns, too. And as they're building things, which I don't understand, they're building things. We're living in pandemic times. But they're building things, and these buildings are vacant. They're just literally sitting vacant. Isn't that crazy?
It is. I didn't understand it either there, C.A. I drove around Fort Worth, and I seen a lot of businesses that are closed, and it's just I know it's just wasted land,
but I don't control that. The mayor's, and God bless you, Mayor Price, she's getting ready to kind of retire out. They're going to be voting for some new mayors that are coming in, that are trying to go against each other to see who's going to be the mayor of Fort Worth. You know, Mayor Price, she used to live by my folks. In fact, Kay Granger did too, state representative and past mayor from way, way, way back, Kay Granger. In fact, she taught at the high school that I went to, but I wasn't there when she was there. She had retired out. And they used to live over there by my folks. Didn't know a little family history in the area that we used to live in.
Well, that's pretty cool, the SEA. I didn't know that either.
I didn't either. That was back when we had the R Gang when I was younger with a lot of my friends. Some have gone home to be with the Lord. Some of them I still communicate with, and I'm very blessed to call them my friends and family, even on my radio show. And we got great things coming up, Deacon. You know, I sent Brother Dan Wheeler a text the other day.
Yeah, Brother Dan with the Fearless Faith
organization. Yes, they're doing a podcast. I've listened to it. They do about 30-minute podcasts. They're pretty good. So I'm going to try to get him on. I'm working on it. He's a very busy man because he's still, even though he's retired from QVC, he still does a little bit with the food and stuff.
I know. I seen Brother Dan with some of that food, and Miss Mildred and me, it ordered some. And I'm going to tell you, it's very delicious.
Yes, I bet it is. So, yes, indeed. I'm trying to get Dan in. There's also, I'm trying to get Steffi, her husband, David, who is a piano. I met them on, they liked me on Facebook. They wanted to be friends with me on Facebook. Steffi has a great testimony that she shared with Brother Dan. And I want to have her on Facebook Live. I've already gave them the invitation. They've accepted. I just got to pick a day to do it. Her husband plays piano. I'd like to do a live on that and have him play some sessions on piano for us. So I'll be getting with her on that as well. I know she's a big listener, Steffi. Stand by sometime here soon and very soon with my work schedule and everything. I'm going to see if I can coordinate all this and do it on Facebook Live. Friends, that's why it's very important. Like me on Facebook, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Check it for free. Look, here I go saying free again. Just check it, and you're going to see Facebook Lives. You're going to be seeing me interviewing people and stuff that you won't actually see on iHeartRadio. And so you got a double combo you can kind of do.
That's right. CA is trying to change it up a little bit. Well, buddy, I got to get ready to roll. I just want to pop in and say hi. Wish everybody a great day. I should be back next week. Lord willing, I'll bundle up, and I'll see you sometime next week.
Sounds good. I know you got things to do. Tell Miss Mildred. Tell your wife hi. And I hope you guys are doing well.
CA, I will, and you have a blessed day, my friend.
You too. And we're going to kick it off. Chris Tomlin, Jesus Messiah. Good Thursday morning, friends.
patient, we're turning over every stone, hoping to find salvation in a world that's left us cold. Can we get back to the altar, back to the arms of our first love? There's only one way to the Father, and he's calling out to us. To the captive, it looks like freedom. To the orphan, it feels like home. To the skeptic, it might sound crazy to believe in a God who loves. In a world where our hearts are breaking, and we're lost in the mess we've made. Like a blinding light in the dead of night. It's the gospel that makes a way. It's the power of the cross. So can we get back to the altar, back to the arms of our first love? There's only one way to the Father, and he's calling out to us. To the captive, it looks like freedom. To the orphan, it feels like home. To the skeptic, it might sound crazy.
That's right. It is the gospel that makes the way, and we need to get back to that. And that is right. Ryan Stevenson, I thought you guys would like that. The gospel that finds the way exclusively and only on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show on iHeartRadio. Okay, now, we are going back to my archives on a Thursday, and we're going to talk about one sentence that summarizes of every Old Testament book. Excuse me if I'm battling the allergies as always. All right, now friends, I want you to keep in mind a little history for you. The Old and the New Testaments of the Bible comprise of a total of 66 books. Tell one can-solve story of redemption, climaxing to the person and the work of Jesus Christ the Savior. Now let's start it off with Genesis. Genesis, God created the world. Mankind rebelled against their creator, known as the fall of man. And God put a plan of redemption, which was salvation, into motion involving calling out people for himself to be the light of the nations, that would be the Gentiles, and entering into a covenant relationship with them known as the Arabic Covenant. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, good scripture to count on here. God saw the light, and it was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Another key point we're going to go to, and I'm just going to read through these for you guys on my notes. Exodus, God rescued people, his people, Israel, from slavery. Gave them the commandments, the Mosaic law, to live by, and promised them a land of their own. If you go to the book of Exodus, chapter 3 and verse 8, let's read a little scripture on that. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into the good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Related to that, there's six reminders of who God is from the book of Revelations. I want you to, book of Exodus. I go to Revelation, I'm losing my mind. The book of Exodus, okay, reminders. Six reminders of who God is from the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus is a very good book in the Old Testament to read. Now let's go to the Leviticus, okay, tongue twister today. God's people were instructed to live, set apart holy lives for him and worship him. Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy because I am the Lord your God, am holy. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2, scripture read on that for your notes. I'm giving you brief summaries of each part of the Old Testament. It's all going to come to sense as we all put it together here. The book of Numbers, which a lot of people don't really get into the book of Numbers, but I'm going to give you a little breakdown on the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, God led his people through the wilderness and remained faithful to his covenant with them even when they stray. So a lot of us stray, but God's always faithful. He's right there. CA wants to remind you, if you go to the book of Numbers, chapter 23 and verse 19, God is not human that he should not lie, not a human being does he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he not promise and not fulfill? Well, of course God fulfills a lot of things. The book of Deuteronomy, talking about this a little bit. You know, God continued to communicate his commandments to his people so the law would be on their hearts as entered into the promised land. A good scripture on this is the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now Israel, hear the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so you may live and go on to take possessions of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors has given you. The book of Joshua. God fulfilled his covenant by leading his people into the promised land. If you read the book of Joshua, a good one is Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law of the servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let me stop here real quick on that. You're discouraged. You're down. Be courageous. God is with you. When you're alone, when you're depressed, when you're down, when someone's wronged you, be courageous. God is with you. Trust me, he is with you. You are going to overcome things that you've never thought you could overcome before. That is a guarantee. That is a CA guarantee. But if you block God from trying to help you, you're making a mistake. So remember that on some of these Old Testaments. The Old Testament's a great part of the Bible. It's fun dissecting the Old Testament and the New Testament. So much I could spend a lot of time on. The book of Judges is another one too. You know, God continued his deliverance of his often rebellious people by raising 14 judges. The book of Judges chapter 2 and verse 16, scripture says, "Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of the raiders." You know, remember that. Also, the book of Ruth, who can forget that? The ultimate redeemer, Jesus Christ, foreshadowed through the picture of Boaz, the kingdom's redeemer in the ancestral line of David. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 14 in scripture reminds us, "Praise be the Lord, who on this day who has not left you without a garden redeemer." Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to take it to 1 Samuel. I'm just kind of going through these because, you know, book of the Old Testament's got a lot. First Samuel, a little brief deal on Samuel. On 1 Samuel, God himself was the king, was their king, I should say. God himself was their king, but that was not enough for the nation of Israel, resulting in them demanding an earthly king like all the other nations, which, like the human judges, quickly led to disappointment. Now, scripture reminds us in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, "But when they said, 'Give us a king to lead us,' this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told them, 'Listen to all of the people who are saying to you, it is not that they had rejected, but they had rejected me as the king.'" 2 Samuel, not 1 Samuel, now we're going to 2 Samuel, breaks down like this: "God appointed David to reign as the second king over Israel and enter into the covenant with them known as the Davidic Covenant. A significant movement in the narrative of the Bible as Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, would come from the earthly line of King David." The book of 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 16, scripture reminds us, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." Now, 1 Kings breaks down like this: "God required the kings of Israel to lead in the obedience to the law of the majority of them. Did evil in the eyes of the Lord, encouraging idolatry, the worship of false gods, rather than confronting it, resulting in judgment and the divisions of the nation of Israel into the two kings, Israel and Judah." Scripture reminds us in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 11 and 13, "So the Lord said to Solomon, 'Since this is your attitude, and since you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your subsidiaries. Needless for the sake of David, your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it down. I will tear it out of the hands of your son. Yet I will tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give you one tribe for the sake of David, my servant, for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen." 2 Kings breaks down like this: "The rebellion of the gods of Israel and Judah, resulting in God allowing his people to be taken captive, paved the way for the prophets and the foreshadowed of the coming King Jesus, who lived in the complete obedience and the will of God." 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, scripture says, "The Israelites persisted in all of the sins of Jerusalem, which did not turn away from them until the Lord removed from his presence, as he had warned through all the servants, the prophets." So the people of Israel were taken in their homeland into exile of Azara. 1 Chronicles, as the Jews returned to the promised land after being exiled, God wanted his people to know historically where they came from and reassured them by reminding them of the unchangeable hope of the David covenant. The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 17, verses 11 and 14. "When your days are over and you go out to be with your ancestors, I will raise you up your offsprings to succeed you. One of your sons, one of your own sons, and will establish his kingdom. He will be the one who will build a house for me and will establish his throne forever. I will be his father and he will be my son, and I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever." Second Chronicles, the breakdown on that, focuses on the kings that live in Israel, specifically in the line of David, highlighting the kings who were both faithful and unfaithful to God in hopes of the generations that would be faithfulness to God. Second Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse 14, scripture says, "If my people were called to my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." You don't hear much on this next one in the Old Testament. Azariah, roughly 50 years of the Israelites returned to Jerusalem from the Babylon exile. They rebuilt their city, the temple, their lives, focusing on three key leaders who led the reconstruction. Scripture reminds us in Azariah, chapter 9 and verse 13, "What was to happen to us in a result of the evil deeds, our great guilt, and yet our God had punished us less than the sins deserve that has been given us as a remnant like this." Nehemiah was a Israelite servant as a cupbearer for the king of Persia. Heard about the destruction of the Jerusalem walls and got permission to return and rebuild the walls. Meanwhile, though, Israel was, spiritually speaking, doing no better than before. In fact, if you go to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9 and verse 17, "But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them." Esther, 100 years after the Babylon exile. This book, in fact, friends, focuses on the Jewish people still in Susa, the capital ancient Persia Empire. And throughout the book, it never mentions God directly. Make note of that. But it is also about God saving his people and using a young Jewish woman, and later became a queen. Take a guess who it was, named Esther. If you go to the book of Esther, chapter 4 and verse 14, scripture reminds us, "For if you remain silent at the time, relief and deliverance for the Jews and will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish, and I know that they have come to royal position at a time like this." And who cannot forget the book of Job, the only Old Testament book, not only about the Israelites, but this book teaches us about God through the story of a righteous man named Job, who God allowed to be afflicted by Satan to show that this world is suffering and from the effects of the fall. God is still in control. His eyes are on every detail of the entire universe. I want you to remember that. And he can be trusted even when life hurts. Short verse on the book of Job that I give an example of. Job chapter 19 verse 25. "I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the end he will stand on the earth." The book of Psalms is a good one. Psalms is a collection, make note of 150 Hebrew poems, songs, and prayers. In fact, friends, over 70 were written by King David, compiled as a prayer book for God's people, but also used as a songbook by choirs which sung in the temple following Israel's return from exile in Babylon. In fact, if you go to Psalms chapter 72 and verse 18, "Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds." The book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, it's a handbook of full of wisdom, linked to King Solomon, known as one of the wisest men ever lived, to help God's people learn to fear the Lord and live a normal life. In fact, the book of Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 is a good example. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The book of Ecclesiastes, that's another wisdom book. Ecclesiastes is about a teacher who is seeking to impart the fleeting and the unpredictable nature of life and the key to living it well, which is to fear the Lord, who will one day reveal the purpose of life on earth. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, scripture reminds us, "Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep all of his commandments for the duty of all mankind." Song of Solomon, a collection of Hebrew love poems expressing the intensity of sensual love expressed by consent, seeking, and finding the points the reader to the wonder of knowing and fully understanding the full known and the possibility of even pointing to God's greater love. And if you go to the book of Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 6, it just says, "Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave." The book of Isaiah, the first of the major prophets, Isaiah was a prophet to Judah during the reigns of the kings of a bunch of these kings, approximately 150 years before Judah's exile into Babylon, warned of the nation and the consequences of their rebellion and the idolatry, but also declared and foretold the grace of God in prophecies about the coming Messiah. In fact, the book of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, scripture reminds us, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and his wounds were healed." Book of Jeremiah, it's the second of the major prophets. Jeremiah continued to be the heel of the Isaiah's message, calling the nation to repent and to return to God up to the fall of Jerusalem and Babylon in 586 B.C. Jeremiah chapter 11 verses, or chapter 29 verses 11 and 14. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope for the future, hope and for the future. Then I will call you on me to come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me. You will seek me all your heart and you will be found by me, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to captivity." The book of Lamentations is also thought to be written by Jeremiah. It's the weeping prophet. In this book, it lives up to the English name, friends, and it entirely laments written the tragedy of the Babylon capture and the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. Through it all, God was faithful. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. But of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for all the compassions never fail. There are new mornings, great is your faithfulness. The book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was, whose message was focused on the glory of God and into the promise of the future restoration for Israel, was both a prophet and a priest, as we'll remember, a contemporary of Jeremiah and Daniel, as one of the 10,000 Jews was held captive by the Babylonians. Book of Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 28. Scripture reminds us, "Then they will know I am the Lord their God, and had sent them into the exile among the nations. I will gather their own land, not leaving any of them behind." How about the book of Daniel? Remember that? Daniel was a prophet. Throughout the 70 years of Babylon captivity, he was exiled to Babylon as a teenager, in doctrine in the ways of the Babylon. But God was with Daniel and used him, his faith, to encourage the exiled Jews. In fact, if you go to the book of Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 22, scripture says, "Praise be to the Lord, to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. His times and season he disposes on the king and raises up others. His wisdom to the wise and the knowledge of the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in the darkness. He dwells with him." Book of Isaiah, Hosea. He was one of the 12 minor prophets, as well known for instructing by the Lord to marry an unfaithful woman to show the example, faithfulness of the Lord in spite of the unfaithfulness of the people. When the Lord began to speak to Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go marry a promising woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife in the land of the guiltiness of the unfaithfulness to the Lord." Find that book of Hosea, chapter 1 and verse 2. About the book of Joel, like Hosea, Joel was also something physical in the case of this drought, a plague of the locust to decept God's judgment in the day of the Lord. If you go to the book of Joel, chapter 2 and verse 13, "Wring your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. He is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding love, and he relents on sending calamity." How about the book of Amos? During that time of national security, prosperity, and peace, under the reign of Jobad II, God used Amos to deliver the warning of the neglect of the sincere worship and justice, promising God's silence if the people failed to listen to the prophets. fact, in the book of Amos, chapter 8 and verse 11, the days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, and will give you famine over the land, not the famine of the food or the thirst for the water, but famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Then we go on and we got the book of Abba, which is, he was a prophet in the shortest book of the Old Testament. There was only 21 verses in that, if you guys want to know. Prophecies, judgments, deliverance from God's, from Israel's enemies, and promises that the Israel will one day fully possess its inheritance from the true king and reign on the earth. A good little short scripture verse on Abana, chapter 1, verse 17. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance, and it will be holy, and Jacob will purchase, will possess his inheritance. Then we go to the book of Jonah. It's the most famous book of an prophet, infamous prophet who gets swallowed up by a great fish. A lot of people think it's a whale. We don't know it was a fish. Teaches us great things about our patience and compassionate with God, who cares deeply about our rebellious and wicked ways. Wicked people, I should say. Book of Jonah, chapter 4 and verse 2, scripture says, I know you're a gracious and a compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding love, a God who resents on sending calamity. And you go to it goes on here, even more, that's Malachi. Prophesies punishment for Judah, flouting its riches and oppressing the poor, the false prophets. We study about that. I'm just going to go through these kind of quickly for you, because I know my podcast is going long. How about Noam? He approximately about 125 years of Nineveh repented of following God's, of Jonah's warning. Nineveh preached that God would judge Nineveh, the blood of the city, if we didn't repent. Through God's patience and merciful, he is also jealous and just. How about Habakkuk? Remember Habakkuk? He questioned the Lord regarding his choice to allow Judah, through the rebellious and unfaithful, to be judged by the Babylons through the spite of the confusion regarding God's decision. Habakkuk still trusted God. And then Zephaniah, who repeated the prophet's promise of judgment and destruction if Judah did not repent and turn back to the Lord, but also foretold his remnant that we would see the deliverance of God. How about Haggai? That's the Babylons that had destroyed the temple, and upon Judah's return from captivity, Habakkuk stirred God's people to remember their covenant to the Lord and put him first, rebuild his temple. Zechariah, we all know that. Hagar and Zechariah, they prophesied together. And while Hagar motivated God's people to rebuild the temple, Zechariah challenged to them to complete the work in the view of the coming Messiah. Malachi, that's the chronicle last book of the Old Testament, that contains Micaiah's warning against unfaithfulness and spiritual impenity and a prophetic message regarding the Messiah. I will read you a scripture verse on that, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But for all you have veered my name, the Son of the righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. So that will give you guidelines. That was a lot. This was a longer podcast today. One sentence that summarizes the Old Testament. Well, let's lead off in prayer on a Thursday. I won't keep you guys too long. I thank you for your attentiveness. We're going to pray, and God's got us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you do. Father God, I just pray that you'd be with us, guide us, watch over, protect us. Let us have a good Thursday, dear Lord, and bring us back ever so safely. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, here we go. Jumped a little bit ahead there. This is CA on iHeartRadio. I want you to remember that the sun does rise on the other side. I want you to also enjoy life, L-I-F-E, exclamation point, dot. Till we talk again, y'all have a great day. Bye for now.